Go, Sprint Lectures on African Mobilities, a podcast by Africa Multiple.
Welcome everybody to this Sprint Lecture that begins the winter semester. Our guest today is Dr. Kamal Tonko, who is going to give a talk on local perception on migration control and local economy in Kanchari and Makalondi borderland. Dr. Kamal is a former doctoral student at Pixas, and also he did his master's studies in the culture, environment of Africa at the University of Cologne. One of his very recent publications, the joint paper with Professor Uli Beisel and Martin Dunspeck, entitled Migration Control, the Local Economy and Violence in the Burkina Faso-Niger Borderland. The paper today is part of a project, actually, that Kamal and Martin are working on in between the borderland, between Niger and Burkina Faso. So without much ado, I'll invite Kamal.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to my presentation. Paddy has already introduced me, so I will just start. In my presentation today, I would like to report on local perception on migration control and local economy in the Kanchari-Makalondi borderlands. The border crossing was identified as a strategic location of interest by international organization for migration. The subjects can be looked at under five headings. I will give you an overview of the EU external border in West Africa. Next, I will focus on criminalization of mobility as people view, and then I will discuss its impacts on the local economy. I go on to highlight what I see as a violent response to criminalization of my mobility and the emergence of poverty. So, European Union policies have shaped the evolution of migration motivation patterns and structure across West African states. From slave trade to colonial times, countries within the European Union have influenced who, where, and for how long people in West Africa move. This influence continues in post-colonial West African states with the reduced but available mobility options for West African to European countries to study, to work, or reunite with family. But these migration policies have become more restrictive over the years. Consequently, the changes in migration policies between EU and West African countries have resulted in changes in migration pattern and decision of migrants. Although bilateral migration cooperation between West African and EU states has evolved to reflect these changing patterns, such measures or decisions have had the effect of externalizing migration policies on EU states in West African countries like Burkina Faso, Niger. For most migrants and scholars, externalization of EU migration policies has meant adopting an approach that extends European borders beyond the frontier of African countries and into their internal territories. This has far-reaching impact on the legal and political system in these countries and does not necessarily contribute to the intended outcome of migration cooperation. In the line of with the Valletta Summit, that was in 2015, the Commission drew up a new framework for partnership with third countries in June 2015. The emergency of containing migration flow to Europe motivated the drafting of this policy strategy, which outlined the control of the reinforced cooperation with countries of origin, transit, and destination by mobilizing all materials and human resources, and more generally, what is there now, the installation of a new migration control technology called MIDAS, and supported by IOM. There is a strong EU presence in the region. Through EU Emergency Response for Stability, many programs arise in the region. For instance, EU finance the program Gestion Intégrée des Ressources Frontalières, bring support for G5 Sahel Joint Force, provide a capacity building in support of security and development of those countries. A part of European border and migration management in West Africa, new control practice at highly modernized and militarized border posts treating the movement of travelers, of migrants. The freedom of establishment and border economies. The various decisions put in place to control illegal cross-border migration and security, and the emergence of armed groups in the Kanchari-Makalonji area have destabilized migration-related activities and led to the collapse of the economic fabric of the region. Using this borderland as an example, I focus on the relationship between local perception of border management, forced immobility, economic downturn, and violence. Generally, perception is seen as the manner by which we make sense of the world, of a phenomenon, a situation, the representation of something to the mind. By using local perception in this paper, I want just to focus on people's judgments and assessments of migration control that might impose threats to their well-being. My analysis is based on information collected during several visits between April 2008 and September 2020. Data consisted of observation, informal conversation, structural interview with migrants, drivers, border police, immigration officers, brokers, local security guards, shops and restaurants owners. Also, I interviewed the local officials. So how do actors perceive these restrictions? Let us say, since the Malian crisis, the security crisis of 2012, the Kanchari-Makalonji border has become an important corridor for international migration. The Ouagadougou Fada Kanchari Niamey axis is experiencing a strong migration flow. Both Kanchari and Makalonji are rapidly experiencing too a significant economic boom with the development of several activities linked to that migration. In order to control this large migration flow, Niger and the Mediterranean countries, mobile checkpoints have been set up at the entrance and exits of major cities on the Ouagadougou Fada Kanchari Niamey axis since 2015. Patrols are organized along the borders. The informal cross-border routes used for smuggling too. In addition to the migration control technology MIDAS, that is set for automated collection of biographic and biometric data with documents and fingerprints Prince Reader and data exchange with Interpol, Frontex, violent repression of activities of smugglers, restriction on mobility, the detention or rejection of undocumented migrants at the border are becoming more and more regular, but above all, unbearable. In this regard, one of my former migrant smugglers points out the following. As soon as they learn that you are in contact with migrants, or if they know that you are a smuggler, then they come and take you in for questioning. Several smugglers and bus drivers have been arrested and thrown into prison simply because they were trying to bypass the border checkpoints with migrants. Several young people have been forced to flee the region to take refuge in the bush or in forest. They are afraid of being arrested by their security forces. The discourses on illegal migration materialize in the criminalization of mobility, previously tolerated and socially accepted practices associated with profit making and corruption in that area. Whereas previously there was a vibrant migration activities that corrupt borders patrols, local officers, police officers, as well as an informal border workers business, the matrix of beneficiaries has now changed. Given the extent of the border, travelers, migrants have to experience this combination of restriction, control, harassment, and corruption already on their way from Ouagadougou to Kanchari and from Kanchari to Niger. Migrants, travelers without a Burkinabe passport, for instance, were charged even if they had valid documents from other ECOWAS countries. Those classified as candidates for migration were particularly harassed as they approached the borders, even though under ECOWAS protocol on free movement of person and goods, they are in fact allowed to move freely from Burkina Faso to Niger. Those restrictions have really impacted the local economy of the region as follows. The journey of the migrants, mainly from Gambia, Ivory Coast, Mali, Senegal, Ghana, Togo, and the three Guinea, has resulted in a vibrant migration economy in Kanchari since 2014. This has not only attracted businessmen and traders from outside the region, but has also benefited first and foremost the population who have opened hotels, shops, and restaurants mediating between border officials and migrants and brought them across the border on motorbikes without checks. It was not only the informal border workers who benefited, but the local economy as a whole. The economic consequence of criminalizing and preventing transport, travel, and migration are massive. In an informal conversation with an irregular migration actor, it is said that illegal trafficking was convenient for everyone and especially for us. With this new tool called MIDAS, we can no longer meet some of our commitments. Before, there was mutual understanding between drivers and us. Everything was going well. it was a win-win situation for both of us. But now everything has become complicated. Today, people find themselves unemployed. The hatred against states and its symbol is real. It is badly thought out by the decision makers in our country who are in the pay of Westerners. I confess that this policy and the repression that follow has plunged everyone into poverty. One must always be afraid to stay next to the hungry. He will do anything to reach his objective. Several testimonies received on the ground are expressive of the decaying state of the current economy in the cross-border area. Every evening, I had three people on my bike to help them cross border. I used to do three tours per day for 5,000 CFA. Each migrant had to pay me. To take them from Kanchari to Makalonji, I would sometimes take up to 20,000 francs CFA. I helped a lot and I'm proud of it. They all want to go to Europe, which is obvious. Another statement states that women, young people are all from the migration path through Kanchari. The population had enough opportunities to earn money. We, the youth, were doing very well. Our land is not fertile. So helping the migrants brought us a lot of money. Also, our women were selling in the streets, doing their own business. There were bars everywhere and prostitution corners too. Kanchari was really good. Now, wallahi, everything is real. Desperation acts the way in which change has plunged everyone into poverty has also strengthened local militia and violent reaction against the state sanctions reorganization of the local migration economy. Response to migration control are becoming increasingly violent and there are numerous attempts to drive the army and state forces out of the area. So this is the current situation on that area. One of the sources of violence in the region is the major or decision taken by the Burkina and the Niger governments to curb the high level of illegal cross-border migration to Europe. Some young people interviewed on the issue of migration control are nostalgic for the years when the activity was in full swing. And one of them said, the passage of migration in our region helped us a lot. We were able to help our parents and feed our families. But since Niger and Burkina Faso started punishing people and sending them to prison, poverty has set in. Such testimonies show that the migration control followed by the strong repression against those involved in migrant smuggling has dealt a heavy blow to local economic activities. In conclusion, I will say that in Kanchari Makalonji region, border practices focus on the idea of restricting and controlling mobility to contain international migration to Europe. Burkina Faso and Niger are trying to turn the local borders into the global border by the support of EU. The result has been a decline in the local economy of this border area with various bouts of violence and strong aversion of the people to the security forces. The state seems to be doing nothing to support its businesses, those businessmen which are currently experiencing difficulty due to security. In addition to the restrictions induced by the migration control, the region faces curve and a ban of motorbikes from 6 p.m. in Kankari and a total ban of on motorbike on the Makalandi side. These decisions restricting mobility are in fact sources of the new form of insecurity because they plunge many households into poverty and recrimination against the central state and the security forces are on the rise. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Kamal. Very complex question you're describing there, and very interesting work you've been doing for, I think, for a good number of years now. From my understanding, this is really a very interesting way of what I would call governing migration, governing mobility at a distance. So you don't have to be very close at the site to manage who moves where and what way. We'll take questions now, and I saw, let me see the hands up, I saw Joel's hand was up. Yeah, Joel. Joel, I mean, sorry.
Okay, thank you. One question I was, you said you're looking at the people's judgments and perceptions on the ground, and I was wondering which level are they addressing when they're complaining, because they see this economic downturn, and that came out really clear, but whom are they blaming for it? Do they say, okay, this is the European Union or IOM, or do they more address the local police or the national government? So that would be my question. Thank you.
Okay. They blame, first of all, their state government. And in addition to the state, the European Union. But in doing so, they are much more selective. So we are in French countries. So it is much France who is always accused.
Thank you very much, Kamal. That was so interesting, and I have maybe a similar question,
yes,
like Johan, about the different levels, but also about the different temporalities. So
okay.
I thought, I actually, not knowing this current border situation in that region so well, I was kind of even surprised that Europe must be very happy with how, you know, the state is dealing with this border control, because this is exactly what the European Union has been trying, right? To restrict migration, to have stronger controls, to have the countries in charge and to hinder, you know, personal gains made from this border traffic. So this seems to be extremely efficient. And I wondered on the one hand, how actually on the state level, what is the incentive to be so strict? I mean, what does the state government get for being so strict? Because I can imagine that even, you know, government agents are normally implied into this cross-border trade, smuggle, get some kind of money out of it. So to really take business opportunities from a marginalized border region, or marginalized in some sense, the state government must have a strong incentive. So I'm asking, on the level of the state, how come that they bring in these measures so strictly? And a second question would be the temporality. So could you say when this migration business started to be so effective and so important for the border region? What was before? Because I mean, cross-border smuggle and cross-border business has always been there, I think. So when was particularly this migration business getting so strong, and how is it channeled now? Is it really stopping, or do people take other roads or other measures to cross borders, or is it really kind of ending this kind of business, or is other forms of business, are other forms of cross-border business returning, something like that? So the temporality of border business would be the second question. And thank you again for this very great presentation.
Thank you very much, Andrea, and thank you for the question also. The cooperation between EU and African countries is a win-win cooperation. Through the emergency response for stability, EU finance many programs in the region. They help also, they provide, as I said, a capacity building in support of security and development. And in most of their annual budgets, those countries also get help from EU. So it is all those things put them in a win-win situation from the interviews and informal conversations. Always they see France that is leading the whole process to control migration and this stuff. I don't know whether it is clear, or maybe you should come up with a question to...
No, thank you very much. That was very clear. And maybe okay. Just about the temporality.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Okay, thank you. Before people start interacting on the axis of Ouagadougou, Fada, Kanchari, Makalondi, Niamey, they used to pass through the Soum region, so the border between Mali and Burkina Faso and Mali. So that's with the 2012 Malian security crisis, the migrants have now starting to pass through Fada and find themselves in Kanchari and Makalondi. So from 2012 until 2018, where they established that migration control called MIDAS, there was a very important migration flow. And the local economy has been really, really fruitful. But since 2018, with the advent of MIDAS, things have become more complicated with the patrols and the restrictions. So up to now the current situation is that there's a lot of insecurity, and in 2020, one of the border checkpoints has been destroyed by unknown people, and later security forces in that area, they have to move from their from this area to be closer to the sanctuary city. That is the current situation there.
Thank you so much. I think this is a perfect example of how we have to really think in multi-scalar ways, how things influence each other, right? On global, well, EU, Africa, internal African states, and then very smaller border communities, how this political economy is
yes.
So linked up, and this is a perfect example. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Andrea.
Okay, maybe I ask one question. Kamal,
yes.
What do you see to be the future of these changing dynamics of migration control? Do you think, like I could follow up from what Andrea asked, is there any other possibility of pockets of routes coming up? Because there has to be alternatives to survival, of course. So what do you see as the future implication of this kind of migration control within the two regions or even beyond? Could the people who are moving, like from Niger, I don't know the border dynamics, could those people who are moving using these routes change their alternatives and try to go elsewhere, or you think there are going to come some smaller micro routes adjacent to the border control center?
Okay, thank you very much, Paddy. migrants have always the goal to reach. So they always come up with new alternatives. So the Kanchari Makalonji border is now full of insecurity, and the borders are closed because of COVID. Motorbikes could not freely move, transport people and goods. So most of the migrants are now switching to Benin. So they pass through, some of them pass through Cotonou, or they pass through Togo, they come in Benin, Parakou, and find themselves in Malawi, Malanville. From Malanville, now they reach into Gaya. Gaya, Malanville is a border between Benin and Niger. So still European Union now to prevent all those new routes are trying to establish everywhere that new technology called MIDA. So in November, I was in the border between Niger and Benin, and I realized that MIDA now has established those new technologies there. And it is the same thing with they are trying to do in the border between Benin and Nigeria too. So they are trying to establish those MIDAS technologies to stop or at least reduce the migration flow to Mediterranean, to Europe.
Well, thank you. I understand that, and there are possibilities of these alternating routes and trying. Of course, the state will have to continue, the mechanisms of control will have to continue moving with the different pockets that will be arising. But yeah. Now, I am thinking, what about cases of, for example, corruption within the system where state operatives, for me, I now think about the illegal migration economy that was thriving in that area has now been moved to potentially the politicians and the policymakers who will still try to bypass this technology of migration control by incentivizing potential migrants who pay them directly instead of using the local migration operatives around there. Do you think this is something that could arise into creating a bit of an elitist mobility economy where it is the people in government who are now benefiting directly from negotiating migration or would-be migrants?
Okay, yes. Well, let me say that those security forces around the borders are well paid nowadays. They are well paid. EU has set up a budget to reorganize the security forces that deal with the border control issues, and then provide them with money and materials to do their work. I know it is not easy because technology, even in Kanchari, for instance, they have tried to destroy the technology because when they start using it, they realize that they cannot get money. Easily money, there cannot be corruption, become difficult, they cannot negotiate with migrants and gain money. So they are trying to destroy. And I remember that one of the police, border policemen told me that Germany has tried to give them an internship to show them how they have to be more patriotic, and they start to show them how with controlling those borders, they can also prevent insecurity. So this also has helped. They have it changed their minds. But I don't want to say that internships and because they have been well paid, they will stop corruption. No, it will still be there. But currently, the area is messed up. So they deal about insecurity. The local people try to push the local security forces out of that area so that they do their business. So this is the fight which is going on currently in that region. So most of the attacks are oriented against the security forces for now.
Yeah, thank you very much, Kamal.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
On the Go, Sprint Lectures on African Mobilities,